Celebrate the life of Janice. Father, thank you so much for your grace, for your mercy, for your kindness, for your love. Thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you're the comforter. I want you to help us this morning to understand what's happening in this situation. Give us clarity, Holy Spirit. Give us understanding. You say in all our getting, we ought to get understanding. So Holy Spirit, we ask you to help us this morning. Help this family understand what's happening in this situation. And God, we give you all the glory, all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. There's two ways you can handle death. You can handle death under your own power, or you can handle death in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me give you a little heads up. If you try to handle death under your own power, you're going to be tormented. But if you decide to let the Holy Spirit let you, you let the Holy Spirit help you handle death, then you'll actually find out you're walking in victory. It's three facts this morning that I want to share with you about Janice. Three facts, very simple. Number one, she loved Jesus. Do I have a witness? You watched her life. You seen how she carried herself. So you know she loved Jesus. What are some benefits to loving Jesus? Number one, she had a place prepared for her. In John, the 14th chapter, if you have your Bible, I like to use my Bible. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. If not, you can listen. In John, the 14th chapter, in the first verse, it's written in red. So what that means? It's Jesus talking. So we know it's the truth. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." Now listen to this. "In my Father's house are many mansions." This is what I love about Jesus. He said, "If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Number two, Janice knew how to get there. Since a lot of people walking around this world don't know how to get where Jesus is talking about going. And the reason why they don't know how to get there is because they think they can follow a GPS. They think somebody else can give them directions. But Jesus says something in that sixth verse. He said, watch what he said in the sixth verse. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can get to them mansions." So it's not a set of directions you got to follow. It's somebody you have to receive. And when you receive him, he knows the direction. And all you got to do is love him, and you can find the way. Janice knew that this was not her home. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. 13th verse. The 11th chapter of Hebrews, the Hall of Faith, they call it. Talks about different people that did things for God. And is one common thing that they all had in common that they did for God. And it's in the 13th verse. It says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but have seen afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." Janice was in a better position than these. They died in faith. Right? Janice died in Jesus. What that means, she died in Jesus? That means she already knew. She had it planned. She decided. Matter of fact, this morning, this service is not really for Janice. This service ain't for Janice. She been decided how she was going to handle this situation, how she's going to handle this moment. She been decided. This service is for us so that we can get our minds right as to the decision she made. Am I making sense? The second fact I want you to know about Janice. She is not dead. She is alive with God Jehovah, her heavenly Father. See, what you must understand, that death in its correct definition simply means to be separated. So Janice, watch this, Janice is still alive, just in another dimension. She is with the Heavenly Father. She is enjoying being in the presence of God, her Father. She has a new body. She has a, watch this, she has a new outlook on life. Because she knew Jesus, Janice is only, watch this, continuing her everlasting life in a higher dimension. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave himself, right? He gave himself. So whoever believes on him should not what? But have everlasting life. So when she accepted Jesus Christ at an early age, she had already planned out her everlasting life. So she hasn't perished. She is alive. What she did was she left this body that was leaking, that wouldn't cooperate. She left that body and went and got another one. She is now with the Heavenly Father. Are you hearing me? Because Janice knew Jesus, when she became absent in her body, she became instantly present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:8 tells us that when we are absent, now that ain't for everybody. That statement ain't for everybody. That statement is only for a few select people that have made some decisions in their life while they were here. Because she knew Jesus and accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior, as soon as she became absent in her body, she became present with the Lord. Here's something you probably didn't realize happened the other day. Janice made a declaration. Her declaration is, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Now, why did Janice have power to do that? She had power to do that because Jesus had already showed her how to do it. Because when he died on the cross, Jesus said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Didn't Jesus say the work that he do shall we do also? So because Jesus set an example that when he died was supposed to happen, because she accepted him, she gave him a pattern of what she can do. So the other day she made a declaration, Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit. The third fact I want you to know about Janice, and I'm not going to be long. The third fact I want you to know about Janice is really a fact about you, Alfred, about you, the family. Janice wants you to live your best life that God has provided for you. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter, watch what Hebrews, the 12th chapter says, the very first verse. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. I want to say that again, with so great a cloud of witnesses. Janice is now in that cloud of witnesses, rooting for you to live your best life that God has provided for you. So the B part of that verse tells us how we are to do this. The B part of verse says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run. Now here's the thing. Let us run with patience. Now I like the Apostle Paul when he say, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Watch this. Janice wants you to take your time getting to where she is. I'm going to say that again. Janice wants you to take your time getting to where she is. See, you won't realize, but you have the best of both worlds now. You say, explain to me how we have the best of both worlds. Well, number one, I know where my mama is. I know where my wife is. And she's living her best life. So I need to go ahead and try to compete with her. And while here on earth, live my best life. Because I have no need to worry about is she living her best life. Because it's far better to be with the Father than it is to be on the earth. So it makes no sense for me to try to compare what I think she's missing. What I think she's lacking. Because there's no comparison to the supernatural to the natural. There's no comparison of heaven to earth. No comparison. So you have the best of both worlds. King David said it when his son died. He said, what am I here fasting for? He said, my son can't come to me, but I can go to him. See, that's having the best of both worlds. He knew his son was being well taken care of. See, I'm preaching to you from experience. I had a 60-year-old son that died. And so one day I was feeling sorry for myself and I was mourning. And God tapped me on the shoulder. See, that's what I love about having a relationship with God the Father, is that he talks to you. He tapped me on the shoulder when I was walking through my house when I was feeling sorry for myself. He said, so you think you can take care of Leroy III better than I can? And I had to say, Lord, forgive me. He's living a much better life where he is than he was here on earth. See, once you understand that heaven, that the supernatural is a whole lot better than the natural. See, we have these experiences here on earth. You know, we have relationships. We go on trips. We do. We like to entertain ourselves, and we try to gauge how the other dimension is based on our limited experiences. So we have events that happen in our lives, joyous events. We have birthdays and we have weddings and we have graduations and all these things. And because we have a limited experience of experiencing those things, we try to compare those experiences to those that have a whole nother greater experience in the supernatural. And so because we limit ourselves to our limited experiences, we try to compare our experiences to their experiences when there is no comparison. Let me tell you something. When Janice showed up face to face to God, her father, it wasn't anything that anybody can do to bring her back. Because she said when she got in the presence of God, wait a minute, this is wonderful. See, that's why I'm kind of skeptical. When somebody said they'd been to heaven and they came back. I'm kind of skeptical when somebody said they'd been to heaven and came back. Now, I ain't judging. I kind of believe you've been on the outskirts. You know, I kind of believe that you might have seen one aspect, but you ain't going into the presence of the Father. Because if you get in the presence of the Father, this is why Janet wants you to live your best life. This is why she wants you to live your best life. Because she is doing fine. She is doing wonderful. Even if we pound the pavement. See, this is what the enemy wants you to do. Even if we pound the pavement. And even we in sorrow. And even if we don't know how to handle grief. And we let the enemy mess with us. I'm going to get to that in a few minutes. Even there's nothing. She ain't coming back. And that's a wonderful thing because she's with the Father. And she wants you to live your best life. <laughs> Don't you feel guilty about living your best life now? I can tell you, you know, as a minister, I've been helping Apostle for, really I've been helping Apostle for 50 years. You say, well, you don't look, I'm 50 years old. I've been helping him since I've been born. This is what I was called to do. So in that time, I've been to funerals, and you tend to be able to gauge how the person who has transitioned been treated. Because the person who's transitioned, you can tell they've been treated by how the people who show up are behaving. I can tell this morning that y'all gave her flowers while she was alive. When you give people their flowers while they're alive, then you have no regrets when they decide to transition. Which means that you can live your best life. I made a pact with my family. When my son passed, I set them all down and we was talking. And I said, y'all, we need to make a pact. They said they thought I was, you know, being funny and was not, but I was being funny, but I was being serious at the same time. I said, hey, we need to make a pact that y'all need to promise me that y'all gonna try to outlive Leroy. Outliving. Now, I'm gonna tell y'all ahead of time, we are failing miserably because it is impossible for us to outlive somebody that's in the presence of God. But it doesn't hurt to try. So I want you to live your best life with no guilt. No guilt. Live your best life. Now, here's what I want to close with. And no, I'm not going to be hooping and a hollering. Because all that hooping and a hollering don't do a doggone thing. Because I told Alfred, when I walked up to him just now, I told Alfred, and I told the sons, I said, I want to make sure that when y'all walk out of here, that y'all have an understanding and that y'all have something to work with. You know, because I can make you feel good. I get to hooping and hollering, make you feel good right now, but I need you to feel good next week. I need you to understand what's happening here and that you have the victory over this situation. Because the enemy is going to come. He's going to come. The enemy, the devil is going to come. And the Bible says you can't give him no place. You know what it means not to give the devil no place? It means not to let him enter into your thought process. Let me say this right quick so you know how to handle grief. Your environment produces your thoughts. Your thoughts produces your feelings. Your feelings cause you to act a certain way, and your actions bring certain results. So let's deal with grief. So if the results is I'm feeling sad, I'm in grief, I don't know what to do, I'm crying like a person that does not have a plan, then I got to check, then my feelings are out of whack. If my feelings are out of whack, that means my thinking is out of whack. If my thinking is out of whack, that means something is in my environment causing me to think a certain way. So the battle of grief is going to be won in your thought process. It's going to be won in your thought process. Romans 12 and 2. Put it on the screen for me. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You renew your mind with the word of God. You renew your mind with truth. So in this situation, what you mean to renew your mind? Because if I renew my mind, that means I change my thoughts. If I change my thoughts, that means I change the way I feel. If I change the way I feel, that means that I'm going to change the way I behave. So therefore, if I'm feeling sad that my mom is not here, that means my feelings out of whack. If my feelings out of whack, that means I'm thinking about something that's causing me to feel this way. So I have to change what I'm thinking to change how I feel. Are you with me? So you say, well, give me an example. Well, you might be by yourself. You might be feeling a memory might come up of your wife, of your mom, of your grandmother. And all of a sudden, Satan will try to ride in on that. The memory is not the problem. It's how long you let that memory linger and what you do with that memory. If you let the enemy ride in on that memory, he gonna start trying to bring up a what could have been, what should have happened, why did this happen? And then next thing you know, you start feeling sad. You start feeling like there's no hope. Grief sets in, and now you crying by yourself uncontrollably, don't know why. Did I say anything wrong with crying? Nope. Nothing wrong with crying. It's just that don't cry like people who don't have a plan. The Bible says that. You're not to cry as people who are without hope. There's a plan. Janet decided the plan when she accepted Christ as Savior. The plan is when I leave this body, I'm going to a better place. So we have to deal with the grief that's in our lives. Number one, don't ever say you lost your mom. Don't ever say that. Because when you lose something, what happened now? What? Not only you can't find it, you don't know where it's at. But the Bible says that Janice is with the Father. So you hadn't lost anything. You know where she is. So you can find her when you're ready. Just run your race with patience and you'll find her when it's time. So don't go around saying you lost your mom, you lost your wife. The correct terminology is she graduated. She transitioned. She passed from one dimension to another. See, death to somebody who's not in Christ means the end. But death means the people who are in Christ means a graduation. The Bible says all those that died in Christ. Janice died in Christ. So we know where she is. Every time sorrow comes, it only means that your thoughts are getting wacky. That means they're out of line. You have to take the word of God, take the truth, take John 14, 1 through 4, where it talks about Jesus say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. It talks about he's prepared a place for her to go. You simply remind yourself, my mom is in a better place. It's amazing what happens when you talk to yourself. See, some people used to equate that to being crazy. But if you don't talk to yourself, the situations in your life don't talk to you. And so if you don't talk to yourself, I talk to myself. Whenever I think about Leroy III, I talk to myself. I remind myself that he's in a better place. I remind myself that he's living a better life than I'm living. And all of a sudden, I begin to feel better because I did what? Change my thoughts. When I change my thoughts, matter of fact, I got to, if y'all allow me, children and siblings together, today is February 1st. This is how you handle grief. Today is February 1st. Now, February 14th is coming. Don't you let your daddy be by himself on February 14th. That's how you beat grief. Don't let him sit there and be thinking about how he cannot go buy a Valentine's Day gift for Janet. Don't let him sit there and think about that. Y'all show up. Y'all show up and y'all buy him a gift. That's what family does. That's how you beat grief. That's how you do it. You control the thoughts because listen, the enemy is going to try to come. That's why I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. When we are by ourselves, do you know the job of the Holy Spirit is to reveal things to us that Jesus wanted us to know, but we weren't ready yet to receive them? So when you by yourself and the Holy Spirit comes to you and the Holy Spirit wraps his arms around you, what he's doing? He's revealing the love of Jesus to you that you wasn't ready for yet because Janet was still here. But now that she's transitioned, the Holy Spirit there is to reveal a love to you that you've never experienced so that you can know that Janice is doing well. That's what it means, the Holy Spirit, to be a comforter. So can I hold y'all to that? Can I hold y'all to that? That on February 14th, don't let him sit there by himself. It shows how we can, I hope I'm helping some other people in here that have had loved ones to go on to be home with the Lord, and nobody told them how to deal with grief. You deal with grief, the only access that Satan has to you is in your mind. He can't access your spirit. He can't access nothing else. He can only access your mind. So the way you stop him from accessing your mind is to cast down every thought and every imagination that comes against the knowledge of God. So when the enemy comes in and trying to get you to feel a certain way about where your mom is, by where your grandmother is, by where your wife is, you can take the word of God and say, devil, I already know. Death, where's your sting? Where is it? Because I know where she is. I know where my mama at. I know where my grandmother at. I know where my sister at. I know where my wife is. I know where she is. So because I know where she is, watch this. Here it is. This is how I talk to myself. She can't come to me, but I can go to her. And I can take my time to go to her because where she at, she's well taken care of. So, what you're doing this morning is you're putting her body in a place where Jesus can find it. That's it, because Jesus is coming back for her body. That's what he's coming back for, because she's already with him. Do you understand what I'm saying? Jesus is coming to get her body, and so all y'all doing tomorrow, this morning is putting her body in a place where Jesus can find it because she is with the Father. So don't let no, and then you got some people come to you that don't quite understand over the next few weeks, and they're really gonna be sincere and showing their love towards you, and they're gonna have some language. I'm sorry you lost your mother. Stop them immediately and say, I hadn't lost her. I hadn't lost her. I know where she is. Correct them. What they going to do? That's going to help you. Because the enemy going to try to use all sorts of things. Because the enemy would love for you to be tormented for the rest of your life. He would love for you to be tormented about this situation if you don't know the truth. But this morning, we find out the truth. What the truth is, she's with the Father, she's doing well, and she wants you to live your best life. So there are going to be times in the future where the young men hadn't gotten married yet. They're going to get married. They're going to have grandchildren that are not here yet that God has destined for them to have in the future. And the Satan going to try to use the opportunity to say, I wish my mama was here. And that's fine. But don't let Satan tap dance on that thought. I wish she was here, but she's in a better place. And here's the thing. I'm going to close with this. Do not try to compare your limited experiences you're having here on earth to what she's having in heaven. Do not try to compare thinking she's missing out on something. Thinking she's not experiencing this. She's not experiencing this event. She's not experiencing that event. None of those events, all your future birthdays, all your future events that you may have, family events, none of that compares to where she is now. And because you know that truth, when Satan tries to come in those moments, you can simply tell him, my mom ain't worried about none of this. She's living her best life. And because she's on in that dimension, been taken care of, that means I can be in this dimension and enjoy this event. So I want to bless you this morning. Let you know that the Holy Spirit is there to comfort you. Use the word of God. Use the truth. Because there's going to become times when you're going to be by yourself. I can't see the other one because he flowers. There's going to be times when you're by yourself. And when you're by yourself is when Satan tries. When you're by yourself is when Satan is going to make that attempt. But also when you're by yourself, you have the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit is there to remind you of what Jesus done, to remind you of how much power you have, to remind you of the truth, to remind you that your mom is in a better place, to remind you that she's living her best life, to remind you that she wants you to live your best life. So, again, what we're doing this morning is just putting her body, not her, her body somewhere where Jesus can find it when he comes for the rest of us. Because Janice is already with the Father. So I want to bless you this morning. Bless you. For the sake of the family, I want any other ministers that come to support the family, would you please stand so they can see you? Do I have any other ministers here? Amen. Thank you, sir. Amen. Amen. So the family, look behind you, Alfred. Look behind you. Directly behind you. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Funeral directors, you can come. You may stand to your feet. While you get the pallbearers prepared, and I pray. Father, thank you so much for Alfred and his family. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to surround them, not only today as they go to deposit the body, but tomorrow, the next day, the day after. Wrap your arms around them. Remind them of this message. Remind them that they have the word of God on the inside of them to combat everything the enemy would try to do to them mentally. Grief, we bind you now in the name of Jesus. Peace, we release you into their lives. We thank you for it now. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross and putting us in a position of victory in moments like these. God, we give you all the glory, all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Just before we depart from cemetery, Dr. Thompson, on behalf of the entire media family, we thank you and the Word of Life family for the beautiful beauty.
Yes, sir.
Also, I want to thank all the other family members and friends that's not traveling. Y'all can follow up behind us.